Dan Pfeiffer now joins us for a live data justice interview with Gina Kim and Alan Tan from the American Civil Liberties Union. Note that Gina shares the same name as Gina Kim from Sun He's, who Luke spoke about earlier in the show, not the same person. Take it away, Dan.
Hello. Yeah, I have two of my colleagues from the ACLU here in the studio today, Gina Kim and Alan Tan. Welcome to the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
So our team is pretty new, created at the beginning of 2018. And I was wondering, how do you describe what we do to other people?
Yeah, so we are part of a wave of people that came in after the 2016 presidential election, and a lot of us are new to both the nonprofit world as well as the more political, like activism or legal worlds. And we're part of a strategy that the organization decided in 2016, when people suddenly began donating to the ACLU much, you know, at a much larger rate, and we decided that the organization wanted to become more involved in defending civil liberties, not just in the courts, but also providing people who are motivated to become more politically active to help them have the information and tools to do that. So we are, as a team, thinking about how we can do that.
Yeah, and the ACLU does a lot of things. There are a lot of services that they provide, and we just want to make sure that we meet users, whether they are folks visiting our site or people who know about it, people who don't know about it. We just want to make sure that they know what they are and they have a good reach to it.
And I don't think I mentioned this earlier, but Gina and Alan are both designers, and our team builds a lot of web stuff, and I'm a software developer, so a lot of our work is me taking designs that they've created and turning them into websites. Gina, you've also done a lot of user research to find out how people actually interact with those websites. Do you have any surprising discoveries that you found by talking to people who use our websites?
Yeah, so just to backtrack a little bit, user research is kind of understanding what people do, how they behave, and really understanding what their needs are. And I think what's been surprising through the process is just understanding the spectrum of users we have. I think when I first joined, I thought of donors because, you know, I'm a donor and I was like, oh, what does the ACLU do? But then it's not just the donors. There are a lot of people who are visiting the ACLU website for the first time. There are journalists, there are other academics, lawyers coming in to get information from our resources. So I think just understanding that we have this large spectrum of users has been surprising for me.
So we just finished up with the midterm elections, and we worked on a project called ACLU Voter. And Alan was the designer on that project, and I thought maybe you could talk about it a little bit.
Yeah, that was one of the first projects our team worked on, and in collaboration with folks in the political advocacy side of things, as well as the folks in the editorial team and communications team. It was really a like all hands on deck project for the organization. Because there were so many different teams involved, the project that we worked on was meant to be a place where all of that work could be housed and information could be presented to people, both, you know, really basic stuff that you'll see a lot of other sites were providing before the election, like when to vote, where to go vote, as well as things that only the ACLU was doing, like races that we really cared about winning and making sure people understood the stakes at, for. There were two ballot initiatives in particular I'll mention that the organization put a lot of money into, like doing raising awareness around. There was a sanctuary law in the state of Oregon that there was a ballot referendum to try to repeal that sanctuary law status. The law was mainly a way to prevent police from just pulling over people that they suspected were undocumented immigrants without, you know, any cause. You know, they weren't necessarily breaking the law. They just there was just suspicion. And so the argument was that that repealing that sanctuary law was not preventing police from doing their jobs in terms of protecting people from crime or anything like that. It was purely and simply like something that was meant to stoke fear of immigrants. So we won that ballot initiative. Yay.
Yay.
And actually, out of the 10 ballot initiatives that the organization got involved in, we won 7 of them. So the site was one of the big places where we were sending people to when we were, we had lots of volunteers across the country texting and calling people to tell them about ballot initiatives in their state. And we were directing people to the site to learn more about what to vote for and what to care about.
And tell us about ballot amendment 4 in Florida, which I think is probably the second one.
Yes, that was right. I was
another big win for us.
Thank you for that. Yeah, that was another huge one. And whereas Oregon was about protecting rights, in Florida it was a chance to give people restore rights for many people. The ballot initiative was to allow and make sure people who had been convicted but had served their sentences to allow make sure they could vote. So people who had repaid their debt to society, they should be able to represent themselves and have a voice in our society. So as a result of that ballot initiative passing, 1.4 million people now can vote in Florida.
Yeah, that's huge. This is Dan Pfeiffer, and if you're just joining us, I'm chatting with my colleagues Gina Kim and Alan Tan from the American Civil Liberties Union. Gina, I know that you've been doing some research on updating the part of our website called Know Your Rights. What has been your approach for doing that?
Yeah, so we were asked to redesign the pages existing today. You could see the current version today on ACLU.org. But we wanted to take a step back to do what we call a discovery phase, where we talk to users, show some of the early stages of what we're working on first, and get their feedback so we could kind of iterate and improve on it step by step instead of kind of just making everything first and then asking them. So one of the first major things we noticed was a lot of the Know Your Rights content was strictly legalistic, and it was coming from lawyers, but it was a little hard to understand, and we wanted to put that in plain language. So we went through our first batch, put it in front of people who went through the issues that we have online and asked, how they interpret the information, if it was easy to find. And we were asking them a lot about it. And there are a couple of things we learned. We do a great job putting showing users what their rights are, but users wanted to know what they can do with that. So one of the things was, for example, under gender harassment in workplace, one of the actions we had in our content for what you do when your rights were violated, we had an advice for, go to the Equal Employment Opportunities Commission. And a user said, that is not something I would do right away if I saw something like that. That's really scary and daunting, so I might not do anything at all. So we got a lot of questions of, is there any way we can talk to people at work? Can I talk to my manager? What are these kind of gradual escalation points without having to do something that, takes a lot out of people? First stop by police, we've put our content in front of people, and that's a very sensitive topic, and there's a lot happening today. And for those who are at risk, that's a harder thing to just take, because many times rights are violated. So we put content around how to stay safe and how to manage risk when you're in that situation, and we just want to make sure that people are prepared and know kind of what is happening today, so that they can make the decision of how they would handle that situation.
And I noticed in the designs that there's also a section about how, as a bystander, you can do your best to ensure someone's civil liberties aren't being violated. So I don't know, like, what are some of the other like prompts on that section, for example?
Yeah, so under any situation you might click on, let's say like ICE showed up at your door, we have kind of these different headers that talk about, you know, how to stay safe in this situation, what are your rights, what it might look like if your rights were violated, and also, you know, if you're a bystander at kind of a point where someone's being victimized, how you can act. And this goes back to the learning that he asked about before, what are, you know, what's surprising for you, and we learned that, again, who these different users are, and it's not necessarily always the victims who are the ones looking at this content. It's also understanding who you might be, if you're a person of privilege to help somebody in a situation, and just also letting people know how you can educate yourself when it's not necessarily even your rights being violated, but someone else's right being violated.
Yeah, I think because of the most recent election, a lot of people were kind of like becoming political for the first time, maybe, or wanting to find ways to help. And often those are people with the most privilege in society who their bubble kind of popped for the first time. And so we wanted to take this as a chance to reach out to those people directly and, you know, have them help the rest of us who are, you know, at more risk.
I know, like, recently we got an email from our website analytics saying that the Know Your Rights about how to go to a protest safely had suddenly got a lot of visitors, and we realized that it was because, like, a Reddit thread had linked to our webpage, and suddenly a lot of people were coming from Reddit to ACLU.org. What are some other ways that you think people might be discovering ACLU-type information or have ACLU concerns that could be met outside of just like a website or a physical printed pamphlet?
Yeah, I think there are a few different ways. We just, as a part of, before redesigning the Know Your Rights site, we had put out a lot of printed material, and there was a big effort to redesign that work. A lot of that gets handed out at events as well as protests. We are very proactive both online and on social media, where if we know a protest is happening, we are posting that content online, and you don't have to go to the website directly, but you can just see that information on Facebook or on Twitter.
Yeah, and just to add, that kind of information is really helpful for us as kind of the product, you know, tech designers, engineers, just to observe and see when are those points when those materials are needed and how we could improve upon that.
Yeah, I think there's often a chance when, because Know Your Rights is often very broad and general, there's a very easy chance for us to forget about it or not update it as much as we should. And that's always a good reminder for us to take a look at that again.
So I think we have time for one more question. Around Troy and the broader Capital District, I would say that police brutality and immigration are the two civil liberties issues that have gotten the most attention. What would you say the best ways for people to get involved who are listening?
Yeah, kind of like what I mentioned before, of kind of it's kind of this moment to kind of educate ourselves, to understand what other people's rights are and what your rights are, understanding your privilege and other privileges that other people might not have. I think it's kind of taking that in, understanding that, and there's this opportunity to have empathy towards other people and just put yourself in that situation and know what that would be like. And, you know, maybe it's practicing that, maybe it's role-playing, I don't know, but there are many ways to kind of, again, be equipped to know what happens when someone else is in trouble and how you can help them out.
Yeah, and I think if you don't know anyone who has been personally experiencing those issues, that's a good chance, or maybe a good reminder to talk to more people and to reach out to try to get a better understanding of what people are going through.
Thanks so much, Gina and Alan. It's really good to talk to you on the radio.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.